From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. On today's broadcast, we continue a series of studies in Paul's Epistle to the Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Our Field of Battle. The text is found in Deuteronomy chapter 20 and verse 4. For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you, to fight for you against your enemies, to save you. We have no enemies, but the enemies of God. Our fights are not against men, but against spiritual wickednesses. We war with the devil, and the blasphemy and error and despair which he brings into the field of battle. We fight with all the armies of sin, impurity, drunkenness, oppression, infidelity, and ungodliness. With these we contend earnestly, but not with sword or spear. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Jehovah our God abhors everything which is evil, and therefore he goeth with us to fight for us in this crusade. He will save us, and he will give us grace to war a good warfare and win the victory. We may depend upon it that if we are on God's side, God is on our side. With such an august ally, the conflict is never in the least degree doubtful. It is not that truth is mighty and must prevail, but that might lies with the Father who is almighty, with Jesus who has all power in heaven and in earth. Soldiers of Christ, gird on your armor, strike home in the name of the God of holiness, and by faith grasp his salvation. Let not this day pass without striking a blow for Jesus and holiness.
Fly the cross of Calvary, the cross on which the Savior bled and died.
Savior.
If anything is obvious in this modern society, it is that people are confused, frightened, and uncertain about the future. Where does one look for the solution to the universal problems of guilt, doubt, and temptation? A number of years ago, Dr. Alan Cairns produced a booklet entitled A New Beginning, which deals with such questions as, how may I have my sins forgiven and my guilt removed? How may I be sure that I possess eternal life and that I am not deluding myself? And how may I enjoy the Christian life and live above constant failure and frustration? Dr. Cairns answers these questions from the Word of God. A New Beginning is for inquirers into the nature of the Christian message of salvation and for Christians desiring to gain a good grasp of the first principles of the gospel. It is useful for both personal use and for group study and discussion. For a free copy of A New Beginning, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of A New Beginning, and we'll be happy to provide it. As he proceeds with this study in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns continues to deal with the theme of the principles of divine judgment as he brings the opening portion of a message entitled, Judgment According to Law and According to Light Given. The text is found in chapter 2, verses 11 through 16. Paul has made it clear that God will judge every man's works, both of the saved and of the unsaved. As Dr. Cairns will show, God's judgment means that men's works have a moral quality. In other words, all men know enough of God's law to be judged by it. Since God is absolutely holy, the standard of his law requires perfect legal obedience if men are to be accepted and justified before him. This makes it clear that in order for anyone to be saved, He needs a righteousness from outside himself, the righteousness of Jesus Christ, which God imputes to those who trust Christ as Savior and Lord. Now here is Dr. Cairns to introduce this message, Judgment According to Law and According to Light Given.
We're turning tonight in the book of Romans to chapter 2. Romans chapter 2, we read from verse 11 to the end of verse 16. For there is no respect of persons with God. For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves, which of the law, written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his own precious and inspired word for his name's sake. Those with good memories may be able to recollect where we last were in Romans chapter 2, and we took quite a few weeks to traverse, maybe that's the best word, to explore perhaps the opening verses of the chapter. Paul has just been stating that God will judge men according to their works. That's a very simple sounding statement. But if you have been here over the past number of weeks, I think you'll attest that when we actually get to look into it in some detail and depth, it is both an amazing and indeed an alarming statement. As I've said before, I've had quite a few inquiries, both from people attending the services, from people who have listened to these messages on the sermon audio, people inquiring as to the full import as they seek to follow through the teaching of Scripture, the full import of this apparently simple statement that God will judge every man according to his works. That this is a statement true of both Jew and Gentile. Now that's what Paul has been stating. I'm not going to open that up again. I'm tempted to, but we must leave it and get on. Otherwise, we'll never get to the end of Romans 2, never mind the end of Romans. Now, once he has made that statement, it leads Paul to another profound train of thought. Think of it. God will judge all men according to their works or their deeds. Now, follow his thinking, and here I'm going to sum up what we have been reading tonight. Follow his thinking very carefully. If God judges men according to their works, then those works must have a moral quality about them. But for any man's work to have a moral quality about it, that man must be aware of a divine law. As Paul later states in this epistle, and this is one of those, by the way, statements of the apostle that is of unimaginably great theological significance. Where there is no law, sin is not imputed. where there is no law, God cannot judge a person guilty of anything. So if he's going to judge men's works, there is a moral quality to their works, which means the people who do those works, Jews and Gentiles, are aware of a divine law. And that means that, this is the great conclusion that Paul reaches, that all men, Jews and Gentiles, remember by Gentiles, he was referring to the heathen nations. All men, Jews and Gentiles, know enough of God's law to be judged by it. Now that's the great teaching of the passage that we've been reading together tonight. Verse 12 and verse 16 should be read together. I'm not going to get into the argument. It seems to me to be rather useless as to whether we should put 13, 14, and 15 within parentheses or not. I think the Authorized Version has done it the best and the simplest, most straightforward and helpful way. Put them in parentheses. I'll show you why. But there's not a lot hangs on it. It's obvious that verse 12 starts a thought that is finished in verse 16. In the day of verse 16 cannot refer to the end of verse 15. Verse 15 ends with man's reasonings in this present day and the operation of their conscience at this present moment. Verse 16 speaks of a future day of judgment, and it is linking up particularly with the end of verse 12. Now let's read them together. As many as have sinned without law, I think to make the meaning clearer, we may insert for English readers the word the before the law. Those who have sinned without the law shall also perish without the law, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Now that is Paul's main statement. An English teacher would call that his thesis. That's the great statement, the proposition that he's making. That's the doctrine he is here defending. Now verses 13, 14, and 15, as I say, usually placed in parentheses because they expound this main theme in some detail. And they show how the general principle applies first to the Jews, verse 13, and then to the Gentiles, verse 14 and 15. And here the apostle shows us that while it is true that the Gentile nations did not have the written revelation of the law of Moses as the Jews did, yet, and this is a tremendous statement, they showed the work of the law written in their hearts. And he therefore concluded that each of them would be judged according to the revelation that God had given. Now it's easy for me to say that. Try to take it in and I'll sum it up in one brief banner statement. Each of them, the Jews and the Gentiles, the Jews with the written law of God codified by Moses, the Gentiles without that Mosaic law, each having enough of the law to be judged as God's moral creatures and his responsible creatures, each of them will be judged according to the revelation that God has given them. So the subject of the passage then is judgment according to law and according to light given. Judgment according to law and according to light. Now as we pursue that, I will have four statements to make. I hope I get through them all. First, This is fundamental to the understanding not only of this passage, but of the whole epistle of Romans. God accepts only perfect, legal obedience, perfect legal righteousness as his standard for accepting and justifying man. Now that's the truth that Paul is building everything upon. I say that at the beginning here because, as I'll probably have cause to refer to frequently through this message, this is a passage that has been not only expounded, subjected to exegesis, but it has been subjected to a lot of what is technically termed eisegesis, which means not only do people draw out what the passage teaches, but when that doesn't suit their particular theological bias, they read in what they wished the apostle had actually said. And this is a passage that is used against the entire run of the apostles' teaching to teach that people can be justified before God on some other ground than that which Paul says in this epistle is the only ground of justification. And there are many theories by eminent scholars spun out of the words that Paul uses, or more exactly, doesn't use, to teach that God somehow is going to look benignly on the heathen, the enlightened heathen, the moral heathen, the good heathen, the obedient heathen, the heathen who live up to the light that they have, and if only they will do that, God is going to justify them on that ground. Let me make it clear. This passage of Scripture, properly understood, and by that I do not mean to say understood as I want it to be understood, understood in the terms in which Paul has given it, teaches no such thing. Paul's one message, and it is a message of classic proportions, a message of universal application, a message that needs to be grasped as much today as in the day when Paul gave it. His message is that God has one standard for justifying sinners, and that is the perfect obedience to his law. A perfect, unspotted, unbroken, unblemished righteousness as the result of obeying his law. That is the only ground upon which God will ever justify anyone. That's Paul's whole truth here. And he proves it by three considerations. First of all, there's the plain statement of verse 13. Not the hearers of the law. Remember, in those days, fewer people read than nowadays. And fewer people, because the difficulty of multiplying copies, even those who could read, fewer people had copies of the Scriptures. So it was generally the hearers rather than the readers of the law. Even in this day of advanced reading, well, maybe I shouldn't say that given the official figures of illiteracy that we have nowadays, but comparatively advanced reading, we still talk about people as hearers of the gospel rather than simply readers of it. What he's saying is, people who listen to the law and people who nod their heads in acquiescence of all its statements, people who can listen to what Paul has said in Romans chapter 1, denouncing the sins of others, and can say, Paul, we quite agree with all that. These hearers of the law are not justified simply by their agreement with the law. He says it is the doers of the law who will be justified. Now again, do not misunderstand the apostle. This has been taken by some to mean that people who try to obey the law will be justified. No, sir, it doesn't say those who try. The doers of the law here are people who are those perfectly obeying the law. Paul, in this context, admits that both Jews and Gentiles, do some of the things that are required in the law, at least to a certain degree. Some people, you might say indeed all people, at some time or other, do something that obeys one of the Ten Commandments. Even the most reprobate at some time or other has probably honored his father or his mother, even temporarily. Paul admits there's partial obedience, but partial obedience is not a ground for acceptance with God. As we'll see as we proceed, woe be to the man who would dare to go out to meet a holy God clothed in the tattered garments of his own vile self-righteousness, holding up to God his vaunted obedience when all the time it is mostly rotten disobedience.
Been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.